Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, Long Beach, to another edition of Swoop's World right here at blogtalkradio.com. Swoop's World, where you get all you need to know about arts, culture, news, and happenings here in Long Beach. Our number, if you want to call in, is 917-889-7449. You can email us at swoopsworld@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Once again, you want to call in tonight, that number is 917-889-7449. Sit back and enjoy another edition of Swoop's World. Hello, Long Beach, and welcome to Swoop's World. It's another Wednesday night at 9 o'clock, and we're happy to be here with you. Hey, Peter.
How you doing, Swoop?
Doing good, doing good. Tonight's show, we got some exciting news. First, we're going to have author Wayu Kennedy from the Yokoji Zen Mountain Center, and he's going to talk to us about the Mountain Center and possibly coming to Long Beach. And then after that, we get to introduce Taylor Nelson and Chris Livingston of LB Food Review, who we are partnering up with to do a segment couple times a month to talk about what they do with LB Food Review and what's going on in the city. That sounds pretty cool, huh?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, totally different than anything we've done before, so it's going to be very interesting.
It's going to be exciting, and I'm looking forward to it. And hello to everybody out there in the chat room. You know, as always, if you have any questions, go ahead and type them in. We've got Peter Monitor in the chat room. We'll get those to our guests. If you want to give us a call, it's 917-889-7449. Lots of things happening in the city this week. It's Friday night.
Yeah.
And that's going to be in Bixby Knolls area. We'll be broadcasting live from there at the Mirage Mediterranean Grill at the Michelle Mangione concert. So that's going to be fun. The bicycle hub is going to open on Saturday. So tons of things happening here in the city this week. So we're looking forward to another fun weekend here in Long Beach. We're going to go to a quick break and not keep our guests waiting, and we got a lot of things to cover today. So let's take a quick break, and what we're going to do is last week, for those of you who remember, we had J. Ross Perelli as our guest, and we're going to go ahead and light it up with one of J. Ross's songs and come back and introduce you to Arthur Kennedy.
Bringing order to the court, offering fat ladies' breath. So you know.
woman, but keep my clothes on and still get Grammys like this hill. This world needs me just to let them to feel. Hey there, sister, I'm Gay Rock. Brothers, if you're listening, it's time to set it off. I'm the Queen of Sheba, Queen of Mina, Queen of Sheba, I'm a queen, the diva. Hey there, sister, I'm Gay Rock.
That's Jay Ross Pirelli on Swoops Roll Radio. She was great last week, and if you ever get a chance to see Jay Ross, go ahead and check her out. And, you know, another local that plays with Jay Ross, who DJs for her, and I'm not sure if he's on that Hey There Sister, but there is a Mighty Junebug, another Long Beach local. So you ever get a chance to check out Mighty Junebug, check out Jay Ross, go ahead and do that. We're happy to have on our show today author Y.U. Kennedy from the Yokoji Zen Mountain Center, and let's introduce him to the show. Author, are you there?
I'm here. Hello.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for coming on the show. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You know, we see that there's going to be a speaker coming out here to Long Beach in a couple weeks and talking about what the Zen Mountain Center does. Before we get into that, why don't you give us a little background on yourself?
I always hate questions like that. Where do I start? I'm an L.A. native. I was born and raised in Los Angeles, first of all, and so L.A.'s and, you know, Long Beach is just one of my favorite cities. So I've been there often, and I've been studying Zen for 17 years, and that has been my main spiritual practice for all that time, and I continue to grow deeper in that practice and really appreciate the effects it's had on my life. As far as my education, I have a undergrad degree in music. I'm a pianist.
Wow.
And a master's degree in human resources management. I work for human resources for Kaiser Permanente.
Wow. Very cool. Well, you know, you're going to talk to some guys here that are learning a little bit. So we're going to ask them some questions here that might seem a little naive, but bear with us there. We understand that Zen is part of Buddhism, correct?
I'm sorry, you're a little breaking up here. Can you repeat that question?
How am I now? Can you hear me?
Yeah, that's better. Thanks.
Okay. Zen, with Buddhism, there's multiple, I don't know if you call them denominations, but teachings or something. How does Zen fall into that?
Well, the different denominations all are centered on the teachings of Shakyamuni Buddha, but they all have a different focus, and Zen's focus is the silent meditation. So that's where we begin and end our practice. The teaching, because Shakyamuni Buddha sat for 6 years under the Bodhi tree until he had penetrated into the questions he had about life and came to an answer that was satisfying for him. So we follow that example.
Well, so is that when I read, when I talk about the goal is to, like, achieve enlightenment, is that part of the whole process there?
Yeah, that is part of the process of, you know, enlightenment is something, really, the Buddha tells us that we already have, but we just don't realize it. So it's a matter of getting out of our own way to come to the realization that we have what we need. And the practice of silent, seated meditation is what allows us to do that.
So just because for me this is all really new, I'm wondering, is this more philosophy? Is this more religion? I did a little research, looked in your website a little bit before we got on, and I'm just kind of curious. So where does this all kind of fall in that realm of things?
Well, I guess you it it has all of those aspects. It is a practice that we repeat over and over again. I guess it's religious in that aspect. There are teachings that have been handed down through the ages, the last 2,500 years. So in that respect, it is a philosophy or a belief system. But it's really more dependent on your direct experience. I mean, there's nothing about Buddhism. Buddha never claimed to be the be all and end all of the truth. He basically said, try this on for yourself and see if this works for you, and realize it for yourself.
Right. Now, the Mountain Center, what is the purpose of that, and what do people get out of spending time in the Mountain Center, or at the Mountain Center?
Well, the Mountain Center is designed as a Buddhist training center. So what we do there is are those aspects that train people to really deepen their practice as a Zen Buddhist. So we have regular Zazen practice, which is, Zazen is seated meditation, as well as Buddhist services, and we do work practice. It's really about taking what you get out of the seated meditation into everyday life. So we move the effects of the seated meditation into a walking meditation and then into work meditation, so that you become adept at taking the aspects of Zen Buddhism into everything that you do, and there's no separation of the meditation effect in anything that you do in everyday life, be it working, driving, washing dishes, taking care of the kids, you know, what have you.
Wow. Now, is this a process, like you said, you take it in everyday life. Is the actual act of meditation, is that something that you do multiple times a day, or is it just something that's always conscious with you?
It's both. I think we renew the practice by regularly returning to seated meditation. I myself do it twice a day, once in the morning and once in the evening. Some people, you know, but I think that it depends on the situation that you're in. Obviously, if you don't have, you know, the luxury of that kind of time, even sitting down for 5 minutes can be helpful to help center you and return yourself to the benefits of the practice, so you can carry it on in whatever you have to get done, and continue and practicing it over and over again just deepens it so that it is a constant part of everything that you do, and there is no separation. But we still return to the regular practice, the traditional practice, to renew that experience.
Right.
So now, if I'm standing there, if I'm there the first time, and we're going to start this process, and meditation is the backbone of this, how do you get people? Where do we begin with that? Do I sit there and think of nothing, or do I sit there and think of something? So for someone who this is all totally new, how does that process begin?
We usually start by teaching people to focus on their breathing. Like counting their breath, because it's something that your body does by itself. You're not trying to make yourself breathe in any particular way. You're just basically being present with the fact that your body breathes. And just keeping your focus there by counting it. So we have people find a comfortable position to sit in. We show them the traditional body postures that you can do meditation in. But meditation can be done in any position, as it's not reliant on the position. And then we tell them to focus on their breaths and just watch their body breathing and pay attention to that. And that's the first practice of bringing yourself into what is happening in the moment and being present with what's happening in the moment and maintaining that presence with what's happening in the moment.
You know what, Arthur? We're gonna try to swap out this mic, so we're gonna go to a quick break and put you on hold for just a second and come back after that. Is that all right?
Great, thanks.
Hey, it's time to tell you about some friends of Suits World. Let's start with By Art Studio Custom Framing, located at 2828 East 10th Street, owned and operated by Don Morishige. Some of you may remember Don was a recent guest on Suits World. Studio hours are open from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m., Wednesday through Saturday. And coming up on April 17th, which is a Saturday from 2 to 7 p.m., a dozen local artists, a salon-style group show, plus antique and vintage jewelry. Stop on by, get some framing done, pick up some art, say hi to Don, tell her Suits World sent you. Also like to tell you about Mark Hawkins of Ink Piece, located at 3636 Atlantic Avenue. Mark sells environmentally responsible ink and toner cartridges for up to 70% less than the major office supply stores. So get on down to Ink Piece, say hi to Mark, let him know that Sluice World sent you. If you want to be mentioned on Sluice World or be a friend of Sluice World, send us an email at sluiceworld@gmail.com. And we'll be back to the show right after this. And welcome back to Swoops World, and we're happy to have as our guest today, Arthur Kennedy, and from the Zen, the Yokoji Zen Mountain Center. Just testing out another mic because everyone's breaking up, and since we've verified that this one's working well, we're going to go back to the show. Peter, are you hearing me all right?
Not yet.
Okay, well, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to another...
Oh, we're good.
We're good? All right, I had to swap out mics. Sorry about that, but we're... Oh, really? It's still breaking up. Well, we'll do the best we can today, and we'll figure it out as we go along. We're happy to have, as I said, Arthur Kennedy as our guest, and we're going to be back to Arthur right now, as a matter of fact. Arthur, are you back with us?
I'm back here.
Thank you. Sorry about the mic problem. We're having some issues with the mic today, but we'll try to get that worked out in between here. Tell us about the goal of – well, first of all, tell us about the speaker that's coming to Long Beach in, next week.
Oh, yeah, the abbot and my teacher of Zen Mountain Center is coming down to Long Beach to talk at the Unitarian Church, I believe it is.
Right.
And so I'll have to map quest it and make sure I get there. he'll be talking about Zen what we're planning on doing. We've been thinking about opening a city center. For a long time, so this is kind of maybe our first step in that direction. Tenshin Fletcher Roshi is a longtime practitioner and an incredible speaker. So I've certainly enjoyed listening to him all these years and have learned a lot. So I'm looking forward to hearing him talk. His teacher was Maizumi Roshi, who founded many centers, including Zen Center Los Angeles, which is still in operation here in LA. And another of Maizumi Roshi's successors is at that center. So it's a great tradition, and it continues. And Tenshin is his goal is to continue the tradition. And so I'm looking forward to hearing what he has to say on that evening.
Wow. Now the difference between the city center and the mountain retreat center. What's the difference between the two?
Well, I think the mountain center, I can talk about, we haven't had a city center yet, so I can talk about the mountain center, in that for me, especially being from LA, it's
right.
Really a wonderful opportunity for me to literally unplug, because there's no cell phone reception up there, and I can really, it's 5,500 feet up in the San Jacinto Mountains, and beautiful spot, 160 acres of wilderness, and totally self-supported. Has its own well and solar power, and we maintain a very green environment up there. So it's a chance to really commune with nature and to really sit and meditate without the distractions of the city. But it also, at the same time, teaches you to be able to maintain that. Within the distractions of the city, because I discovered one of my interesting experiences was when I first started going up there, I realized that nature's not all that quiet. Those squirrels and blue jays can be and you know working quite a racket. So it's just a different experience of the same thing. But it's really my getaway for on the weekends to go up there and just completely unplug, renew my practice, you know, have a conversation with my teacher, and then come back and refreshed and ready to dive back into the workaday world of LA.
Right. For people who are considering learning more about Zen, what would you suggest? Where would they start?
Well, my suggestion, I mean, there are a number of books out there that could at least, that it would express Zen from the experience of the person who wrote it, but each person's experience is going to be unique and different. So those books are maybe a good starting point, but I think the best starting point is to come and do it, and that's to come to the Mountain Center, and you know we'll hopefully be starting a city group in Long Beach, just to come and sit and breathe and do the practice and really experience it for yourself. That's
right.
That's how I got hooked. I read a lot of books, but I stopped reading the books after I started doing the practice, and I realized those books were about the writer's experience, and mine was unique and powerful in and of itself. So I really enjoyed the doing of it.
So one of the things I was looking at seemed really cool. I just love this concept that you're completely off the grid. You're just you got your own, from what I understand, you got your own wells, solar heating,
yep.
And that sounds really cool. How does that play into the whole the experience of the people who are visiting, and then for people who are there on a longer term basis, how does that affect it all? That I love that concept.
Well, I think each person's experience of that is going to be different. I think overall it does give people an opportunity to see that a center can run and run well without the trappings of what you need, what we think we need in the city, and that is, you know, having cable and high-speed internet and all that stuff. And you know, not that the center doesn't have that, but it isn't as easily available.
Right.
It's a little more rustic up there, and it gives people a chance to really test their mettle to see if it's something that they want to do for those who want to stay for a long period of time. And you know, it is a practice that kind of really makes you focus on yourself and your own abilities and your own resolve without a lot of the crutches that are more readily available in the city. You can't, you know, call up a friend and say, let's go get a beer or pizza. It's a little harder to get off the hill. You can leave if you want, but it's farther away to get a beer or pizza.
Right.
So it does. It has the effect of making people really center on themselves and really do the training. And you know, I'll have to be honest. The training isn't always easy. It really it doesn't allow you to distract yourself from maybe some issues that you're having, especially within yourself. And you have to stay with those issues until you work them out. So it's really thorough in that respect.
So it actually is a lot of soul searching, a lot of looking within oneself.
Yes, exactly.
Another thing that I thought was pretty interesting is that it said that you can come to the center, the Mountain Center, and stay up to a year.
I missed the last part. Stay what?
It said that you could stay up. You can stay for a couple of days. You can stay there up to a year, right?
Yes, that is correct. We do have some residents who've been up there for a few years, and we have short-term stays. I go up there usually on the weekends and stay for either just go for the day on Sunday for the Sunday services,
mm-hmm.
or for a long weekend or for a week at a time. And there are people who live there, so
wow.
And there is the ability to just commit to doing the practice for a year or two and just stay there for that period of time and then leave at that. So we have varying degrees of availability for doing the practice.
Wow. Very interesting.
I was wondering, so for people of different religions, is this a compatible thing, if you're Jewish, Catholic, what have you? Or is this, how does that work? Is there conflicts there?
I don't think so, and maybe my opinion is biased. we do have people of different practices, and you know maybe they would have to be in a place with their practice where they're open to also incorporating Zen meditation. But we do have people who are very devout in their own practices, in their own religions, and do Zen meditation. We have some Zen teachers who are clergy in their own religions. There's a rabbi and a Jesuit priest that I can think of off the top of my head who also are Zen Buddhist teachers and practitioners. So I think that I like the point of view that, or the way it makes me, I can say it's my feeling that Buddhism is not at all exclusionary in that respect. That you can, you come with as a package deal. So you come with, I certainly came with my family's religion as I was raised a Christian, and that is an indelible part of my life. I choose to practice Buddhism, but I don't have to give up any part of my past in order to be a Buddhist.
We're going to take our break at our bottom of the hour break, and we'll be back in just a minute. You be okay to hold on through that, Arthur?
I'd be glad to. Thanks.
Thank you.
This Good Friday, April 2nd, experience the living stations of the cross like never before. A heartfelt reenactment of Christ's passion told in story and song. This Friday, April 2nd, at St. Cornelius Catholic Church in Long Beach, corner of Bellflower and Wardlow, at 6 o'clock. Companion CDs of the performance will be available for purchase, with all proceeds going towards charity. This Friday at St. Cornelius Catholic Church at 6 o'clock, join us and feel God's love.
Hey Long Beach, it's that time again for what's happening here in LBC. Get your rain barrel through the Rain Barrel Pilot Program. Rain barrels will be made available by applications to the first 100 residents. The Rain Barrel Pilot Program is made available by the Office of Sustainability. For more information, go to sustainablelb.com. Operation Easter Basket sets out to collect 1,500 baskets by Friday for donation to underserved youth in the community. The nonprofit community action team run by Justin Rudd is organizing this event. Baskets should be dropped off by 4 p.m. on Friday. There are multiple locations to drop these things off, the main one being Bayshore Church, located at the Toledo and Granada Avenue in Belmont Shore. There is a late drop-off location at the Mirage Mediterranean Grill on First Fridays, where Swoops World will be broadcasting at the Michelle Mangione concert. We've teamed up with everythinglongbeach.com to collect these baskets. For more information on locations, go to OperationEaster.com. On Saturday from 12 to 3, the grand opening of the Bicycle Hub, located at 1740 Long Beach Boulevard. Pedal Movement is celebrating the grand opening of the Bicycle Hub. Come on out and enjoy fixed gear competition, live bands, and more. Experience this thing called the Bicycle Hub. Also on Saturday, Free Spirit Yoga presents a stress relief workshop from 2 to 4:30 p.m. Free Spirit Yoga is located at 3910 Atlantic Avenue. Learn some things you can do to prevent and relieve excess stress. Cost is $50. On Sunday, a host of locations are hosting Easter brunch. And for a list of those locations, check out limelightlb.com. Also on Sunday from 3 to 5, Suddenly Sundays at Exhibit A Gallery. Weekly open mic event sponsored by LB Creative features soul music acts, rare performance, and spoken word by local working artists and writers, located at 517 Pine Avenue. More information on these events and others can be found at everythinglongbeach.com and limelightlb.com. Do you have an event, organization, or activity you'd like us to mention? If so, email us at swoopsworld@gmail.com.
And welcome back to Swoops World, where you can reach us anytime at 917-889-7449. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook, and if you need to email us, it's swoopsworld@gmail.com. Today we're happy to have Arthur Kennedy from the Yokoji Zen Mountain Center as our guest. And coming up at the top of the hour, we're going to have the LB Food Review guys at a new segment that we're going to be running every other week here. So look forward to that. Back to Arthur. Arthur, are you back with us?
I'm here.
Excellent.
So, Arthur, tell me, what sort of people, what's kind of the demographics or the typical person that attends one of the visits or spends time there? What their age, where are they coming from? What are they looking for when they come to you guys?
Well, I chuckle only because there's probably no one type of person that comes. I think we've had certainly a cross section, at least I think it's a cross section of the population, and they come for all different reasons, from different aspects. They've read different books or heard different things about Buddhism. Some come because they're curious. Some come because they're dissatisfied, with their lives, and they want something better. They're looking for solace of some kind. So I think that you can find any number of reasons or any number of types of people who have come and practiced that. And all colors, races, creeds, nationalities, have certainly, I've certainly crossed paths with them at Zen Mountain Center, and it's been a pleasure to have such a variety and diversity of people that kind of feed into my own experience, and hopefully I have an opportunity to feed their experience at Zen Mountain Center. And I think it's been a great location because it's really not located in a place that has kind of a typical type of neighborhood or only these type of people come. It's kind of off where anybody could show up at any time.
The mountain center itself is up above like Hemet, and if I looked at the map correctly, is that about right?
It's up above where? I'm sorry.
Hemet.
Sorry, I still didn't hear you. One more time.
Like Hemet or Riverside County?
Oh, Hemet. Yes, you're correct. Yes, it's in the mountains. On one side is Hemet, the other side is Palm Desert. So it's up at the top of the mountain between those two cities.
Wow.
And so being that far, I mean, looking at the map, you guys are way out there. The nearest thing. Looking at the map, you guys are at the end of a windy, windy road. The nearest place is how far away, and does it get lonely out there?
Well, there are not a lot of people, so it depends on how you define loneliness. So if you need the crowds of the city, it's definitely much less than that, but we are close to the resort town of Idyllwild, which is right around the ridge from us. So there is civilization close by. if you need a grocery store or a restaurant, it is within 20-minute drive of Mount Center. So it's not so far off the grid that you can't get to a populated area fairly quickly. But true, it is off of a long winding road. From LA, it's about a 2.5-hour drive, and I usually leave it very early on Sunday morning, so there's no traffic. It's a peaceful drive all the way up there on Sunday, and I come back in the afternoon. So for me, I enjoy the time in the car and the time up there that's peaceful, and I come back refreshed. And so for me, it's worth the trip to go all the way up there. I think part of the reason we want to open a city center is to make the practice a little bit more available to people who maybe don't have that amount of time or the luxury of making that length of travel every week. And hopefully this will be something that they can plug into, in their neighborhood.
Where is that center going to be? Do you know yet? The city center.
Well, we have not established a place at the moment. We have a storefront room that we're going to use, and I was just looking for the address here because we just managed to acquire that. And let me, I know it's here in my emails here. I'll look for it and go on to your next question, and I'll find it. When I find it, I'll chime in.
Sure, sure. Okay. Well, then, so one of the questions I had in looking at the programs that you have there, there's work that's involved. My understanding is the morning is spent in meditation, and then there's a certain amount, for those who are there, especially for longer term, there's a certain amount of work that goes on to help kind of enforce this concept of meditation. And what sort of work do you guys do there?
Well, it's basically work around work that needs to be done around the center. So it's cooking, cleaning, there's a certain amount of maintenance for fire abatement that has to be done at the center because we're in the middle of the forest. There's office work as it is a business that has to be run. So I think there's a variety of, I'll say, chores and various jobs that have to be accomplished. In addition to the work of the practice itself, so the practice, I mean, what we're trying to do with the practice is make it seamless so that there is no separation between what you do in spiritual practice and what you're doing in everyday working activities. So that's, the work is part of the spiritual practice itself, and not a separate aspect.
Okay. How many people do you have at a time? Generally,
On average, I would say for our Sunday morning program, we may have between 10 and 25 people that show up at any given time. Sometimes it depends on the weather. It does snow at that elevation, so sometimes it's harder for people to get there in the snow. Certainly during better weather, we have bigger crowds. So it does vary. Right now, they're in the middle of a 5-day session, which is an intense meditation period. I understand that there are 20 people who are attending that meditation retreat right now.
Wow.
A question I have is with any spiritual or spirituality practice or religion, people have a tough time incorporating it into their daily lives. And I know that you say you meditate twice a day and kind of on your mind throughout, but have you found it to be difficult to incorporate the practices throughout your daily life, or is it because of the studies and the way it is it fairly simple to do so?
No, but part of the reason I can answer that so readily is because my reason for the reason I was attracted to this practice was its very readily practical application to everyday life. I was not looking for something to escape everyday life. I really wanted that seamless practice. So when I found Zen, and it was kind of accidental, it was an ad in the newspaper that I sort of answered. I thought, this will work. This is what I'm looking for. It's not something that's so removed from everyday life, but it's something that I can take with me to do everything that I do. So I think because that is the center of the practice, it was certainly what attracted me to it. So I was really gung-ho. I thought, yeah, this is right for me because I want to be able to be centered and aware and certainly awake, when I'm doing my everyday work, and I wanted a spiritual practice that would give me the training to do that.
Right.
So that's not to say that it isn't difficult for others. It might be.
Right.
So now, again, just probably because of lack of understanding here, but on our end, my end especially, my understanding is that there are different kinds of Zen or different variations or something along those lines.
Sorry, you're breaking up again. Could you?
Oh, sorry.
Let's go to another quick break. We're going to swap out another microphone and come right back to you.
Sorry about that.
Okay.
Technical difficulties.
Yeah.
On this week's Friends of Swoops World segment, we spotlight two local businesses, Alfred's English Gardens and Richco Gates. Kathy Alford of Alfred's English Gardens was recently chosen by the City of Long Beach Water Department to help educate homeowners about alternative low-water garden options. Visit the website and click on eSmart Gardens for case studies and photo galleries of gorgeous gardens in Long Beach. Go to www.kathyalford.com.
Richco Gates. Richco is a local builder that specializes in locally handcrafted outdoor woodwork built specifically for each client. Richco believes in doing a great job and having fun in the process. He builds gates in a variety of styles. Check out the photo gallery at richcogates.com for more information. If you'd like to become a friend of Swoops World and have your business mentioned on our air, send us an email at swoopsworld@gmail.com. And back to our guests right after this.
I won't have, it'll be less of a concern.
And welcome back to Swoops World. We're going to try a different mic, and hopefully this works out. If you want to give us a call, it's 917-889-7449. You can always reach us on Facebook, Twitter, and you can email us at swoopsworld@gmail.com. We're happy to have as our guest, Arthur Kennedy from the Yokoji Zen Mountain Center. If you want to look up his website, it's www.zmc, for Zen Mountain Center, .org. At 10 o'clock, we're going to bring on the guys from LB Food Review for our new segment. So I hope this microphone's working well, and we're going to bring Arthur back up and see how we go for this. Arthur, are you back with us?
I'm here. That mic does sound a little better.
Okay. Hopefully this will work. This is the third mic for the night, so I don't know what's going on, but we'll try to get through this.
Okay.
Peter, you had a question.
So Arthur, my question, I was wondering, there's different kinds of Zen. Do we have different kinds of, is there different brands, or not brands, but, you know, different variations perhaps? And if so, what are some of those, and how does that happen?
Well, I think that there are probably slightly different variations on Buddhist meditation, because certainly we have the Vipassana meditation, the Tibetan Buddhists who also do meditation, but I think they're all based on the same principle that was established by Shakyamuni Buddha. So there may be slightly different emphasis and maybe slightly different techniques that they employ, and I really can't speak to what those are because I've never done them. But overall, the principle, the guiding principle at their basis is the same for all of them.
Okay. All right.
Sorry. Go ahead.
I'm trying to figure out our technique. I'm really sorry about that, Arthur. I guess one of the big questions is how does this affect your day-to-day life? How do you, you know, you wake up, and how does it change who you are or how you lived?
Well, that's, wow. that's a good question. I think that certainly my priorities and my commitments are not what I would have expected them to be. I think if you had, I've been doing this for 17 years, if you talked to me 20 years ago and asked me if this was where I saw myself 20 years from that time, I probably would have laughed. I had no spiritual, no aim. I was raised Christian, but had not really practiced since I was a child. So I really wasn't thinking along these lines. But you know, finding this practice certainly refocused my priorities, and so I'm pretty committed to the practice and teaching it, and I really love it. Mostly, my primary focus is that it works for me. It has really enhanced my life. It has made me very focused and made me really, I want to use the word responsible. Know that I'm responsible for what happens to me and how that happens and how I create my life. And so it stops me from what I hear is the blame game. It's not anybody else's fault that things happen to me. This is what I do, and so I have to think about that. I have to be aware of what kind of impact I have on the world, and I do that. And it's raised my consciousness about how I behave in the world. So those are the changes that I can think of off the top of my head. hopefully those are good ones. I don't know.
Now, is this something that can be embraced by families, people with young children? At what age is this a practical lifestyle or possible for them to do?
I think it can be embraced by anyone. I give the caveat that it may not be what everyone would resonate toward. So I'm not saying that this is the be all and end all. For those people it works for, you know, they can make it work. I think that, as I said earlier, I mean, you can do meditation anywhere, anytime, and while you are doing anything. So you can, you know, have. Certainly, there are people who have kids. We have a number of kids who come up to the center, and you know, certainly they're not going to sit still for 3 minutes. But there are places that are safe for them to do their running around. That's natural for them, and that's part of the practice too. And we love it when they come into the, because we have part of our Sunday program. We have morning services in which we do some chanting and. The kids will run around, in the hall while the chanting is going on, and it really brings a level of joy to the room, because they're just completely present. They're embodying what we're practicing to do. So they've already got it, and so it's wonderful to have that energy in the room, and we endeavor to get back to that very childlike attention. To just being ourselves. So it's great for the kids, and I think it certainly helps the parents, but the parents oftentimes have to get up and leave and go take care of the kids.
Yeah. Imagine that. I can see that happening.
See, something's different days no matter where you're at.
That's true.
Yeah. Well, you know, we really appreciate you having you on. Is there anything that you would tell anybody who is interested in learning more about Zen, learning more about the Mountain Center, and as well as the speaking engagement coming up? Is there anything that we didn't cover that you'd like to add to that?
Well, I certainly appreciate you giving the website out, because I think that's how they can find out more about the center and find out where it is and how to get there. And everyone is more than welcome to come here. Our abbot, Tenshin Fletcher Roshi, at the Unitarian Church. It's next. What is the date? The 8th, April 8th, coming up, and he'll, I think, be an excellent entree into the practice, because he's such a wonderful, just very down home and practical speaker about Zen. I think, definitely we're scheduled to start the sitting group in Long Beach, and I'll have the address on our website. There is not an address in the email that I have, but we're going to have a sitting group in Long Beach, and people can come in and at least do the beginning meditation at that group, and hopefully that will get them up to the, you know, out of the smog and up to the Mountain Center, and join us up there for more practice, because I think it's I know I'm biased. Like I said, I love it because it works. I invite everyone to try it. If it doesn't work for you, then, you know, do what works for you. But if this is something that is right for you, please join us, and we would love to have you.
Well, thank you, Arthur. And anybody who wants to know more about this, you can go to their website, zmc.org. There's also an article about the upcoming speaking engagement on everythinglongbeach.com, so check that out. Arthur, we appreciate you coming on to Swoops World, and best of luck to you. And anything else come up, go ahead and send us an email, and we'll try to get it out there for you.
Thank you very much, and thanks for having me. It was a pleasure.
Absolutely. One more time from J. Ross Perelli, and we're going to be back with Taylor Nelson and Chris Livingston of LB Food Review.
Taking excuses, I'm not hungry. I gotta work late. You and the Bama like to do a week here at the chair. I know a good bass player, nice jazz trio could score big with the right manager.
Manager?
Come on now, Gossie, don't be so small-minded. You know you got to give to get.
Well, what exactly do I have to give?
25%.
Hey, you'll never change.
All right, we're back. Interactive Live and Archive out here on Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. How's everyone going? We have two new guests this week.
Whoa. Okay. We're still working up this microphone thing, so bear with us. Happy to have with us tonight Taylor Chris Livingston from LB Food Review.
How you guys doing tonight?
A little bit louder, guys.
How are y'all doing tonight?
We're good. We're good.
Wow.
We're coming to echo. You have to ask them to chat line if one's listening to us.
I can do that.
Let us know if you're hearing us.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Welcome back to Swoop's World. We're happy to have, like I said, lbfoodreview.com. Let's try this again. Welcome, guys.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Tell us about what's going on with LB Food Review, what it's about now, what you guys do on a regular basis.
Well, you know, LB Food Review just started as kind of a passion project of ours. Chris and I were sitting around some sandwiches at this
Spinelli's, I think was the name.
Spinelli's, a little place that's not even in existence anymore. About a year and a half ago, we just said, you know, wouldn't it be great to be able to go out and try new places? You know, wouldn't it be awesome to go try new places and just write about it and get the word out about new places around? And so that's kind of our whole goal, is to just get the word out about the little spot we got in Long Beach.
Very cool. Very cool. And I guess you guys one of the little local spaces tonight.
Just a thumbs up and a big thank you to Karina over at Nino's. She has served us a wonderful meal. I had this chicken parmesan that was just absolutely to die for. It was this really thin sliced piece of chicken and then breaded and then got a big chunk of cheese on top of it. It was absolutely amazing, as well as everything else we had, the sauteed mushrooms and the salad. I just can't say enough about how wonderful that meal was. What would you say?
Well, he on the head. In fact, he got pasta with one of my favorites. He had the arrabbiata sauce. And, you know, Chris is spicy. I love spicy too. So anytime that's on the way, we can't complain.
Well, you know, we're just so happy to have made this connection with you guys and to be able to do this, on the show here on a regular basis. And tell us some of the kind of the things. Some of the type of things you've done. I know you got a big event coming up, and we're going to get the word out on that and get some tickets sold for that.
Yeah, you know, we've got the Progressive Dinner coming up here on May the 15th. It's our what we're calling our summer kickoff dinner. And we've partnered up with the factory on Atlantic, Nino's, and then Phil Train's. And we're gonna have appetizers at the factory. Then we're going to move on to dinner and drinks at Nino's, and then dessert and after-dinner drinks at Phil's. And we're really excited about it because we don't make it up to the Atlantic area very often. We've done most of our stuff down more towards, the shore area. And because we're both Long Beach State grads, we're right up there.
The good news is we don't have to drive this time because we're going to be having the Big Red Bus pick us up. For those of us that live over on the east side, we're going to hop on the Big Red Bus over at 7th and Bellflower or PCH and Bellflower. And we're going to ride the Big Red Bus right over to the factory, and it's going to take us to all of our stops for the rest of the night. So,
And how do people get tickets? Anybody want to go to that? How do they get tickets for that?
You can get tickets on our website that you can either click on to the actual article that's about the dinner, and you can buy the tickets there, as well as when you log on to the homepage, there's a buy ticket area, PayPal. How does it work, Taylor?
On the top right side of our page, lbfoodreview.com, you can pay with your credit card, either through PayPal or Google Checkout, and tickets are $50 per person, which does include, you know, the three-course meal with a drink at each stop, as well as transportation aboard the Big Red Bus, like I said. So it's all there, and you can pay for it on the website through a couple different venues. So
excellent.
That's a great deal. That's a great
deal. Hey, like I said, everybody joining us, we have Chris Livingston and Taylor Nelson from LB Food Review. You want to give us a call, it's 917-889-7449, or join us on the chat line. I got a question for you guys. And this is I've been thinking about this since we decided we're going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Where is the best place to get an old school cocktail? I mean, like, you know, Manhattan or mm-hmm. I don't want anything with produce hanging out of it.
No.
There can't be any Red Bull.
There's no question about it. You got to go to Crow's on Naples Island. The drinks are strong. It's a double in every glass. What more could you ask for? 7 and 7 and a Jack and Coke about the same. That's what we're looking for when we walk to the bar.
Exactly.
Value. And I started drinking there when I was 21 years old. I drank there so much the bartender asked me to bar back for him after I got out of college. You know?
I knew where everything was.
That's the place to go. Go say hi to Tommy, man. God, that is a great bar right over there.
I know it well. Anybody who went to Cal State has been by there, right?
I hope so.
They haven't experienced college.
Exactly, mm-hmm. Exactly.
So now how many reviews have you guys done so far?
Well, overall reviews, we probably have about 30, 35 places reviewed on the site. You know? We have kind of a mixed bag on the site because we do reviews, but we also, like you were talking about, we also do events around town at different restaurants and stuff. So about every third post is going to be a heads up on a different event around town as well. But, you know, as far as reviews, we've got something covering just about every different cuisine across town. I mean, Long Beach has so much to offer. It's gonna, by the time we get through everything, there's going to be 1,000 new places across this city.
Right. Oh, yeah.
But that's the fun of this job, is that there's always something new around this city. So,
well, talking about past events you guys have done, you guys, I understood, a pub crawl?
Yeah. We just, back in December, finished our second annual Christmas crawl. We like to be festive around the holidays, and the winter time is the perfect time for that. So,
and you always need your alcohol jacket on when you're walking around.
Last one, it was raining, so it helped to be, you know, warm and fuzzy on the inside. And we all know Second Street's always a good place. Mm-hmm. When you don't feel like thinking about where to go, that's always an easy slam dunk. So
many options there.
Yes.
Hey, tell us about any hidden gems.
Oh, man. For one, I don't know. It's an older crowd, but the Annex. The Annex is a great bar. You go in there and get yourself a nice big schooner of Pabst Blue Ribbon. Another place is the 49er Tavern. A lot of people never stop there because it doesn't have any parking.
Right.
But when they say it's God's Own Cheeseburger, they mean it. That thing will make you happy, you know. And the beer's great, and I think they're under new ownership, but the guys that are in there bartending are just the most helpful, nice guys. They're just, you know, they're trying to build a nice clientele. You definitely got to make it over there to the 49er Tavern.
What about wine taverns, wine bars? Do we have what do we got in that way that you guys have brought?
You know, I would say we haven't really gone that direction yet. We're kind of beer drinkers and cocktail drinkers, and I'm not going to say that we're against wine. We had a nice bottle with Karina the night over at Nino's, but you know, I'm a beer guy. That's one of the reasons we love the factory, man. Just the rotating taps and the microbrew beer. You can't find that anywhere else in the city like that. It's a great place.
Now, we got a couple, and then along the lines of beer, then we got a couple breweries in town.
We do.
You
know, I like Rock Bottom. Rock Bottom's a good place. Okay. It does have the corporate touch to it, where everything's pretty much standardized through all of their different locations.
Right.
But they produce a great product, and I really enjoy it.
As for Belmont Brewing Company, you know, the BBC right down there by the pier, that seems to be just a fishing spot. The BBC's great. You know, they've got a lot of different options. You
can't beat the view there. I've been out on that patio there.
That location is just awesome. Amazing.
I'm always amazed there isn't more out there, you know, that there isn't more. There are more people, more businesses, restaurants taking advantage of that.
Right.
I mean, because it's just gorgeous down there.
Mm-hmm. You know, there used to be a really, I think it's the Palapa now. There used to be a really good Italian restaurant right there.
La Palapa?
Yeah, we're in the same spot. But that's the La Palapa is the one that's next to the pier.
Yeah, it
shares the building with the pool. Mm-hmm. That used to be a long time ago an outstanding Italian restaurant.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, just years and years ago, back when I was going to Cal State Long Beach.
La Palapa is a great place.
Is it?
Yeah, the food's really good. The drinks are great. It's just one of those places where people don't know where it is, and they're intimidated by it for some reason. But the decor and the ambiance inside is just absolutely incredible. When you realize that the owner actually spent the money, millions of dollars, to have an actual Palapa roof put on this building, that when you look up from the inside, you're in a Palapa. It's amazing. I mean, who would have thought, you know? It's not just for looks. It actually... It's really neat.
It's really neat. Yeah. Wow. Best steak. Where do I go for a steak, man?
Prospector.
Yeah, that's the place I've been passing all my life and have never set foot in.
Oh, my God. It is unbelievable. We know the owner, Louie. He's a great personal friend. One of the other bartenders, Lee, knows me by name. I mean, that was a college watering hole for us. And, I mean, we went as far as we used to rent that place out and do fraternity roasts there. That's our presents as they were leaving. We,
not just a college bar anymore.
No.
Still, I mean, we just had my 20th. They surprised me with a 25th birthday
we
party there.
We threw a surprise birthday party with 55 people.
And, you know,
they're
great because they worked with us. I mean, they put together a whole banquet menu for us, basically. Of course, I didn't know a thing about it. But the food was damn good.
And, I mean, that place, they do karaoke on Wednesday and Friday nights. They have the local band scene in there. They
and
pour
talk about cocktails.
Yeah, I mean the drink, like we said, I mean, it's a double for every single. And you know, it's well worth your money when you're paying $5 a drink. It only takes half as many to get Snickers. So, you know, I mean, let's just be honest. It's a great deal all the way around.
So then, if there was you know, prospective restaurateurs out there, what's Long Beach missing? What would go over well? What if somebody opened tomorrow? What do you think we need and people would love?
Okay, I'm going to jump in here real quick. We went to this place. My younger brother, Brett, just graduated from Cal Berkeley. Congratulations to him, by the way. And, you know, he took me to this place in Berkeley. It was called Gregoire's. And it was a gourmet restaurant that only did takeout. It was a little – like, they're all dressed – the chefs are all dressed up in the white outfits and the whole deal, like you come in out of a French kitchen.
Yep.
But it's in this little shack on the side of the road, like MVP's over there on 4th Street, right? And they're serving gourmet food out the door. Tell me that's not what we need here. Tell me that we don't need some little, you know, mashed potato puffs with a great burger. I'm telling you, it would work, and it would be amazing.
I could see that being hugely successful. Yeah, because people want the food. There's people here with money, people here with the palate.
Right.
They have a lot of time.
Right.
They want to be able to get in and get out. I can see that going over very well.
Yeah, you know, you don't want to spend your day cooped up in a restaurant
if
you have the beautiful Long Beach weather to deal with.
That's right. Plus, you know, at home you get the view you want.
Right.
No, I can see that going on being a huge success.
Yeah.
Huge success.
But, you know, one thing that we must say that Long Beach has a lot of, and we don't mean any disrespect by calling it this, but it's the dive bar.
Absolutely.
You know, I adore the dive bar scene. We actually like to get some of you guys commenting on our site about we want to put together a dive bar crawl where we just strictly get dive bars. But, I mean, you know, the annex, the thirsty aisle.
36, 36.
The Dirty 30. I love the Dirty
30.
The V Room.
Oh, the V Room.
You know, any of these places, and let's not talk about the greatest granddaddy of the dive bar, the JoJo's. I mean, you know what I mean?
Don't eat the eggs, man.
Oh, pickled eggs. Yes, I love them. I love them, but you don't want to talk about PBR and pickled eggs. But the truth of the matter is that scene overtakes our city, but is yet just where the real culture and the people go to drink. That's the real watering hole. You know what I'm talking about?
Have you checked out, there's a place across the street from, kind of across the street from the V-Room, Cheap Shots, is that what it's called?
No.
I have not either. I've passed by it a couple times. I figured, well, I'll have to check that out one of these days. But I knew you guys were coming on, so I figured I'd ask you.
Yeah, we'll just put that on the
list of places.
So what's that
go.
Place we went to? It's kind of diagonal from the annex. It's kind
Blondie.
Of purple. Blondie.
Yeah.
Blondie.
Yeah, we went to Blondie. That was all right. It was good. Yeah. We were there on a sleepy, very sleepy night. I think we were there like on a Wednesday night or something like that.
You know, it's kind of buried now because they built in front of it.
Right.
You can't even see it.
No, I didn't know where it was for 2 years going to the annex until someone finally said, well, we got to go back behind.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's great to be in the neighborhood of the annex, but be able to get a cocktail too. So
yeah,
that's handy.
Yeah.
The annex, of course, is beer only.
Beer only, but they did start serving sandwiches about a year ago. Roast beef sandwiches in there. They're amazing. They actually just remodeled the whole inside of the whole place. It's actually really nice.
It looks like we have a caller who wants to ask a question. We're going to be bringing up the caller here, and he's got a question for you. You guys ready to take questions from the audience?
Sure. Let's do it.
Hey, Sam, you're on the air.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Good. How's it going, man?
Doing well. Hey, thanks for guys. Thanks for this service. This is a real neat service. I'm just checking out your website here, and it's got a lot of great information. I wanted to ask you. I mean, I love like Caribbean food, and they used to have I think Cha Cha Cha's was the name of the place down in Long Beach, but they no longer have it. Do you know any other Caribbean type food places to go?
You know, I haven't really explored that that section of the city. Taylor, Caribbean restaurants, so do you know of anything that you've tried? I really think the closest that we'd get to that is kind of the Latin stuff. And you know, that's where we're talking. But, I mean, that's not even there.
The most unconventional even Latin place I've been to was there used to be, it's not even there anymore, there used to be an El Salvadorian restaurant over on Long Beach Boulevard that did pupusas and things like that, but
yeah.
That place isn't even there now. So,
you know, Sam, I remember Cha 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 was very, very good restaurant. I think the owners had two, one in L.A. and one here in Long Beach or somewhere north of here. But it was a shame to see it close.
But we'll definitely
I know.
Go to
I miss that place.
And try to find some place for you and post something on the website. How about that?
Cool. That'd be cool.
Excellent. Anything else?
No, that's it. I just wanted to say hello to all of you, and again, thanks for the service. It's a great service. I think people really need to know what's out there, and thanks for promoting all these restaurants and all that stuff.
Hey, Sam, before you hang up, man, everybody needs to know Sam's a wonderful chef in the area. He's been doing a lot of stuff, helping out at the Sunday market. Put out your website, Sam. Is it the gourmetconspiracy.com?
Yeah, it's gourmetconspiracy.com. I do the podcast for the Long Beach Sunday market, and it's a Long Beach Sunday market report. You can find it on my webpage as well.
Awesome. Excellent.
Yeah,
well, thanks a lot.
Well, thanks for letting me plug my website.
That's what it's all about, man. It's all about Long Beach and helping out and making sure everybody knows what's going on out here and who's doing things out here and sharing the wealth, man. So appreciate you listening. Appreciate you calling in.
Absolutely. Love you guys.
Thank you, man.
All right.
You know, speaking of the sandwiches you said they had, mm-hmm. That leads me to another question. Best bar food.
Oh, well, just to let you know, we are going to we're trying to start doing a monthly edition of the site where we give out the best of wherever it is in the city, Mexican food, bar food, whatever that may be. And so this next coming month, the month of April, is going to be the best Mexican food. And the reason for that is because we can celebrate with the restaurant on Cinco de Mayo. Right? What a better reason to do Mexican food in April. But bar food's going to be next. It'll be the next month following that. But, I would say the best bar food, my God, I don't know if Taylor's going to agree with me. That's one of the great things of having a partner like you guys.
Exactly.
Disagree and whatnot. But I would say by far the Thirsty Isle is just the amazing, greasy kitchen of the dive bar scene. You get your big, huge mug of Pabst Blue Ribbon, if you haven't noticed. I love that stuff. And then you can get, just the greasiest, greatest fresh-cut fries and burgers. I mean, it's a heart attack on a plate. My God, it's amazing.
I have to admit, I lean towards the Pike.
The Pike, okay.
I hear they have some good tacos over there at the Pike.
I've had their tacos. I've had some outstanding burgers.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Have you had a God's Own cheeseburger at the 49er Tavern?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
No, I haven't.
Okay.
Tonight would have been the night. Wednesdays are the burger night at the Niner.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I live walking distance. Or stumbling distance, whichever you prefer.
See, when you talk about that, see, I used to live conveniently located where I could walk to either the Reno Room
or
the 3636.
Wonderful.
And it was perfect. And some nice both.
Yeah. One thing that is also unique to Long Beach that we're finding a lot of, and I guarantee you guys run into this, is cash-only bars and restaurants.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to be ready for it here. Don't go out.
House of Haven.
Coffee Cup.
Yeah, Coffee Cup Cafe. I mean, how can you not go to Coffee Cup Cafe? Just to let all the listeners know, if you're going to peruse new restaurants in Long Beach, really be prepared for it to be cash only, because there's a good chance that it is going to be.
Right.
Show up with green.
Uh-huh.
Sure.
Show up with green.
Unless you've been there or someone's been there before, you never know.
Right. And that information is actually also on our website. If you read our reviews, it will tell you if they take credit cards or not.
And then talk about your website. What's the big plan with the website? Is it to, where you guys want to go and what are you trying to achieve there?
Well, we're trying to carve out what we see as underserved space in the Long Beach media circle, I mean, there are great local media outlets here in Long Beach, but for the most part, they tend to kind of gloss over a lot of the local little places we've got in this town. And even if there were 20 different people doing the exact same thing we still wouldn't be able to hit it all. Like we said, this city just has so much to offer. And, with the passing of some of the other local media.
Like the district going.
They occasionally,
too.
Yeah, they did.
And they were a great spot to find out some new stuff. But we're just really trying to, shed the light on some of these places. And the more people jump on that bandwagon, I think the better it is for the whole town.
Well, that's great. And, when you talk about you're doing best Mexican food, when you incorporate that, could you do Taco Tuesdays in there also?
I'm sure we could do that as a subset. Not only best Mexican restaurant, but best Mexican restaurant and best Taco Tuesday.
And best Taco Tuesday, yeah.
There
I don't ask for much.
Right. No, it's totally okay. Totally okay.
You incorporate it. You gotta test things out both nights of the week anyway.
Right. That's right.
Absolutely.
I mean, I would have to say right now, I'm sorry, but I'm just going to throw it out there. Holy moly.
Directly across the street from Holy Moly.
Oh, of course. Our race shop is right down the street, and so we just find ourselves rolling over there because we also race some friends of mine. We race the Baja Off Road Series, and so when we're working on our race truck and we're craving fish tacos, we're right there on Orange in the 405. So we just walk straight down Orange and plow some Baja fish tacos, and it just makes us feel like we're back at the south of the border.
That's what we're missing. Cause when I used to go to Mazatlan all the time, street food.
Yeah, street meat.
Street meat.
You gotta have it. You gotta have it. No, there's no AIDS on the card either. You just gotta get over it.
Look, if you're looking for a winner, you don't belong there.
No,
right?
you don't. I mean,
it is what it is.
It's south of the border, you prove you're a man eating off the nasty cart. I've got the gun.
Yeah, a couple of bacon wrap hot dog got a water bag.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, gosh, man. Hey, you know, you guys like that. There's a show I used to watch with Dave Attell called After Dark or something like that, and all he would do is, like, peruse the bars in New York after 2 o'clock.
Right.
Well, that's a good gig, but I think you guys are running neck and neck with him there.
You know, I got to say that we started this thing, and, you know, as everything, when you first start it, you struggle with what is this going to become, what are we going to do with it, are we going to try to make money, are we not going to try to make money? I mean, that's the big question, right? And you know, what it'll become is, let's just promote some local businesses, let's make some other people some money. Taylor and I also own a little business together that kind of pays our bills, and, you know, we came out of the gate, like we talked about, this is all about being positive.
Right.
This is all about shining the positive light on our city, shining the positive light on the food. Let's not harp on the negative. We got enough of that in the media, right? I mean, let's start talking about what's great about where we live and what's great about the people that we live with.
Absolutely. And that fits right up with what Swoop and I have been doing and believing. So we were happy to have you guys, and we expect this to be a very interesting show, and we hope you guys can enlighten us each week. I guess we're going to do this every other week, yeah. Shed some light on the places we've been missing out on.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of places you guys need to try. I'm just telling you that right away.
Now, yeah, you guys are a little bit on the younger side there, but you have any thoughts about, you got to go the family route too. Family restaurants. I'm just throwing it out there. We do have listeners who have youngsters, and they want to know the places where, yeah, kids are welcome.
You know, you
also,
know,
because they don't want to go to, nobody wants to go to, like, Chili's all the time, right? You know, we want to be able to go to fun, and obviously, because I got young ones.
Right.
And I throw out there, for us, one of the places we go is Johnny Reb's.
Okay, yeah,
my
wonderful.
My son loves, like, just being able to eat peanuts and throw it on the ground. I think that's the coolest thing. He can do that and not get in trouble.
Right.
How cool is that, right? So, just throwing it out there, that might be maybe not as much fun as some of the other things, but I think there's a need out there for people to track those places down.
Absolutely.
I think that there's definitely a need to look to the family-oriented thing. But, you know, we were just recently having a discussion with somebody that was saying, maybe kids need to go to adult restaurants maybe more often and actually eat off their parents' plates and taste the stuff that's a little bit not maybe so bland or
right.
Not maybe so anything. You know, because, I mean, we've got a cheeseburger and pizza generation here. I mean, you know what I'm saying? And I really think that we need to develop the palate of our children and then possibly, you know, take them and let them try sushi. Let them try stuff that's much more, you know, exotic maybe.
Right.
So go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, we're not by any means snooty food critics, and we're also out there trying to break the bank.
Right.
But, you know, it's good to challenge yourself and you know, someday when I have children, I'd like to be able to challenge my kids, too. And so I think that's part of it as well.
Absolutely. You got to get them out there and get them, at least expose them.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually tell my kids, you might not like it, but try it.
Yeah, the worst thing you can do is have them spit out an apple.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately, they'd like all the high-dollar stuff. But other than that.
Right.
Yeah, I always want to know what that lobster tastes like.
Yeah.
Because they've seen it on TV sometimes. Just got them.
My oldest was young. He wouldn't look at the what was on the menu. He'd look at the price. And then he'd be like, I want to try this, Dad. I'm like, you don't even like that.
Yeah.
It's the most expensive thing on the menu. I want to try it. No, not happening, dude. Fall for that once. Push it around. Hey, we're down to just the last few minutes. Anything else you guys want to put out there tonight?
No, I would just like to say that, you know, there's a lot of great places in the city to eat. Get out there and try them. We're all creatures of habit. We all want to try the same place over and over and over again. We find something we like. Sometimes we don't even order off the menu. We just know what we want. You got to get out there. You got to explore. You got to taste it. The world of food is amazing.
Exactly.
It's amazing. And don't eat just to eat. Eat for the enjoyment of eating.
Right.
It's an art. These cooks are doing something amazing, and you need to taste it.
One of the last kind of things I'm going to cover real quick. You know, when you said, you know, you go to these places and you kind of know some of the people, I found that when I actually know the owner, the chef and stuff, I always get to try some things that aren't on the menu. And that is the coolest thing, because that's where you get a lot of the best stuff.
In fact, we got very similar treatment to that just this evening over at Nino's. You know, we had basically a couple of entrees that were put together specifically for us because, well, the menu occasionally doesn't let you explore.
Right.
In fact, you know, another great place, one more shameless plug, but, you know, Sushi Studio, when it just reopened We finally got back in there right after it opened, and we'd both been missing it the whole time it was shut down.
Oh, shut down for a while.
It was over a year, and it was painful that whole time. We got back in there, and that was on our spot, and we just told them, you know what, surprise us. You've been doing your thing, and we haven't been able to do with you for the last year, so just went up for us.
Excellent.
That's one of our favorite things. So.
Excellent. Well, hey, Swoops Roll fans, we're happy to have Taylor Nelson and Chris Logan of LV Food Review part of the show, and they're going to be back in 2 weeks, and look forward to this segment. This is a lot of fun, and these guys are really a lot of fun. Get a chance to go to their website, lvfoodreview.com, check it out, buy a ticket for the what do you call it?
The Progressive Dinner.
The Progressive Dinner, and that's coming up soon, so jump on that real quick. Thanks for listening in to Swoops World. Like I said, you can always find us. We're interactive, live, and archived. You can download us on iTunes. Always follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And call in any night at 917-897-449. Want to send us an email, swoopsworld@gmail.com. And we will see you again in Long Beach next Wednesday.
Night, Swoop.
Night.